Okay, let's look at the proof texts for Chapter 9 of the Confession of Faith of Free Will. Section 1, God has endued the will of man with that natural liberty that is neither forced nor by any absolute necessity of nature determined to do good or evil. Matthew 17:12. But I say unto you that Elias is come already, and they knew him not, but have done to him whatsoever they listed, whatsoever they wanted. Likewise shall also the Son of Man suffer of them. James 1:14. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Deuteronomy 30:19, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. But of course they didn't, and the record against them, the reason why Moses said, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, is because he was sort of making a prophecy that they wouldn't. So one might wonder why this proof proves that they were not of any necessity determined to good or evil. It was prophesied that they would not choose life and live. Let's go to section 2. Man, in his state of innocency, had freedom and power to will and to do that which was good and well-pleasing to God, but yet mutably, so that he might fall from it. So the first section, man in his state of innocency in the Garden of Eden had freedom and power to will and to do that which was good and well-pleasing to God. Ecclesiastes 7:29, lo, this only have I found, that God hath made man upright, but they have sought out many inventions. Genesis 1:26, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. And, okay, the second section, having seen that man in his state of innocency had freedom and power to will and to do that which was good and well-pleasing to God, but yet mutably, that is, something that could change, so that he might fall from it. Genesis 2:16, and the Lord commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. Genesis 3:6, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Section 3. Man, by his fall into a state of sin, has wholly lost all ability of will to any spiritual good accompanying salvation, so as a natural man, being altogether averse from that good and dead in sin, is not able by his own strength to convert himself or to prepare himself thereunto, that is, unto salvation. Okay, the first section, man by his fall into the state of sin has wholly lost all ability of will to any spiritual good accompanying salvation. Romans 5:6, for when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. Romans 8:7, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. It is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. John 15:5, I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. So, as a natural man, being altogether averse from that good. Romans 3:10, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. They are all gone out of the way. They are altogether become unprofitable. There is none that doth good, no, not one. And dead in sin. Ephesians 2:1. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. Colossians 2:13, and you, being dead in your sins, and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. And so man is not able by his own strength to convert himself or to prepare himself thereunto. John 6:44, no man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. And he said, Therefore I said unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. Ephesians 2:2, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation, our walk, our behavior, in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and we were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. 1 Corinthians 2:14, But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolish unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Titus 3:3, For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. I don't think we have time to read all the scripture references in another section of the Westminster Standards, question 149 of the larger catechism, and then there's again section 4 and 5 of the confession. Let's see if we can quickly pull out the new verses in question 149 of the larger catechism. Is any man able perfectly to keep the commandments of God? Answer, no man is able either of himself or by any grace received in this life perfectly able to keep the commandments of God, but doth daily break them in thought, word, and deed. So the first proposition, that no man is able of himself perfectly to keep the commandments of God, James 3:2, For in many things we offend all. If a man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man and able to bridle the whole body. James 15:5, we've read that, Without me you can do nothing. Romans 8:3, For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. Okay, no man is able by any grace received in this life perfectly to keep the commandments of God. Ecclesiastes 7:20, For there is not a just man upon earth that doth good and sinneth not. 1 John 1:8, If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Galatians 5:17, For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. Romans 7:18-19, For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. So no man is able to perfectly keep the commandments of God, but doth daily break them in thought, word, and deed. First for thought, Genesis 6:5, God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And Genesis 8:21, And the Lord smelled a sweet savor, and the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground for any man's sake. I will not curse the ground any more for man's sake, for the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. And then, having seen the thoughts, that he breaks the commandments of God, also in word and deed. Romans 3, 9-19. What then? Are we better than they? Jews versus Gentiles? No, in no wise, for we have before proved that both Jews and Gentiles, that they are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God, they are all gone out of the way, they are all together become unprofitable, there is none that doth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulchre, with their tongues they have used deceit, the poison of asps is under their lips. whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. The way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. And James 3, 2 through 13, but the confession only gives us the first phrase, for in many things we offend all, and so forth, but we've printed the rest there. And that'll just about soak up our time today. So tomorrow on day 37, we'll come back and we'll look at section 4 and 5 of chapter 9 of Free Will. And I think when people think of the Westminster Confession, they think of Calvinism. And when they think of free will, they think of that as the opposite of predestination, and they wonder how Calvinism can talk about free will. And in a sense, the material we've looked at so far hasn't really talked that much about free will, in the sense that it's very controversial, that theologians have debated about free will versus predestination. So perhaps you'd like to jot some questions or comments and put them in a comments to the post here in the blog, and maybe we can talk about those in future editions. See you tomorrow on day 37.